My name's Arlene Ellis, and this is an interview with Mr. Brian Robinson, a resident of Egglescliffe, Egglescliffe Village. The interview is part of a local history project on the history of Egglescliffe. The interview is at my home on Thursday, February the 2nd, 2017. Thank you, Brian, for kindly taking part and talking about your memories of living in Egglescliffe. I'd like to start by asking you when and where you were born.
I was born in 1952 and was born actually in Stockton in the maternity home, but actually lived at Early Nook. My father worked at British Chrome and Chemicals, which was also Egglescliffe Chemical Company, which ultimately became Albright and Wilson. And I lived there for a year till 1953. And in 1953 I moved into the Crescent, which was a house that my mother and father had built there. And I lived in the Crescent until I got married in 1976. I went to the village school, and I would start in the village school in 1957 and was there till I was 11 years old. And the village school was an interesting school, which is obviously now what is the parish hall. And the village school was built to a similar shape to what it is now, but it didn't have the extension on the back. There's a little extension on the back part of it, which wasn't on. So the village school then was basically three school rooms, which the main hall, as it is now, was split into two. And there was a fireplace in the middle, which was a proper original coal fire.
Wow.
And next door to the fireplace, I remember right, was a little office, which was the headmaster's office. And when I was there, the headmaster was a Mr. Jackson. And we had some great times at the school. We used to play, obviously, out in the car park, which was then the playground. But on a night in the winter, when we used to get cold winters, and we don't now, we used to throw a bucket of water down every night before we went home. And the purpose of the bucket of water was that it would freeze overnight. And when we went back to school the next day, we would have a slide in the playground to play with on the morning till we went into school. At the back of the car park, which was then the playground, there was an old building stroke shack which was used, I believe, by Mr. Bretherton, who was the local coal merchant. And we used to play in that, we used to play aircraft carriers.
Oh.
So we'd run around like aeroplanes and running out of the shack as such, and had many good days playing there. And there was also on the right hand, as you look at the parish hall now, which obviously say was a school, on the right hand side where the glen is.
Where
the glen is now, there was an old house there, long, long time before any of those houses were built. And I think it was a Mrs. Crisp used to have that, and it was a derelict house, and it was a bit like the Adams family sort of house. It was really weird. And again, we used to nip in and play in the garden there, because it was well overgrown. And obviously the house wasn't particularly secure because there was nobody living in it. And then in the late 50s, early 60s, it was knocked down. Oh. And then ultimately the glen was built as part of that as well. When I was at the school, we used to also do the maypole, because we used to go to the village fete, which was then in the old rectory, which is the old building which is opposite the parish hall, set back, and you can see it off the footpath that goes through the churchyard. As you walk through the churchyard towards the church now, there's an old bench and a lamppost where there's a little bit of a footpath which goes through, but the hedge stops the footpath. And that was the entrance into what was then the rectory, and Mr. Nelson lived there when I used to go to school then. And every year on his or the rectory garden, they used to have the church fete. We used to get a day off school to go to the church fete. And as I say, we used to do the maypole dancing as part of the school, which was good fun because obviously the colours of the maypole, if I remember, there was reds, yellows, blues, greens, and everybody had to have a colour that you would dance around the maypole, and they used to weave the different ropes in into different waves, etc., which was quite interesting. The practices was always good at the school as well, because boys being boys and the girls being girls, we used to always try to not do it right on the first day, so you get different knots in the rope, but that was always good fun as well. Also in the village, when I went to school in the village, there was the village shop and the post office on the green, on the top of the green. As you go into the village, now when you turn right to take the road down to where the pub is, if you go straight down into the green and the houses that are set back on the top, the village shop and post office were in there then. And I think when I went to school, one of the children who's got to school with us, Hardy, used to have the shop and the post office. So we used to go there for sweets and stuff. I mean, the shop's not there now.
Was it a general shop? Sold everything?
From what I can remember, it used to sell sweets and general bits and pieces that you would need, yeah. But that's been gone for many years, the shop, and obviously been converted into a house. So I was at the village school from 57 to I started the comprehensive school in 63 and left there in 1968. And then obviously went to work, started a job as an apprentice with Northern Gas. And as I say, I lived in the Crescent till I got married in 1976. I've always been involved in the village and village life though, because my parents always came to the village church.
From
Early Nook, yeah. And obviously from when they moved into the Crescent. So I've always been coming to the church since I was a little boy. I remember joining the choir as a little boy when I was about 5 years old. And they used to have, as they still do now, 10 bells in the bell tower. There's two bells which you would class as normal bells, and there was 8 tubular bells in the tower as well. And I started bell ringing when I was 7 years old, and I still do the bell ringing now. That's how I met my wife Dawn through the church, and said I would teach her how to ring the bells. I don't think I've ever done that yet, but Dawn rings the bells as well. So the bells have been part of my life, as the church has as well. My father was church warden for over 25 years, and I've followed in his footsteps. I'm church warden now, and I've enjoyed being part of the village life. I've used the Pot and Glass public house in the village since I was old enough to go into pubs.
What age was it in those days?
Same as it is now. Whether it was that age when we first went in, I'm not sure, but yeah. So I've always used the Pot and Glass. When I first went in the Pot and Glass, the landlady who was in there, or still was the licensee, was a Mrs. Abbey. But she wasn't in there very long before she came out. And then Frank and Marnie Morley took the Pot and Glass over, and they were in there for a number of years and became very friendly with them and their family as well. And actually Sharon Morley, who's in the choir in the church now, is Frank and Marnie's daughter-in-law, who she's married to Ken Morley. Following Frank and Marnie in the Pot and Glass were Bill and Ann Taylor, and they must have been in there for, I think, about 12 years as well. Ann was a nurse and Bill looked after the pub, and he used to enjoy working in the pub and having a bit of time on. They used to have a one-armed bandit in the pub. Then I remember Bill, every night, would be on the one-armed bandit. But he ran a good pub as well. And Anne was a nurse. And when they came to leave the pub, I think, if I remember rightly, they went to Red Crog, is where they live. And just going back to Frank and Marnie as well, they had, I think, his brother-in-law, Frieda, and her husband, whose name I can't quite remember, but they used to run the pub with them as well. So it was all family-run, and say Bill and Anne came in. Following them was a guy called Graham, who came from a pub in Stockton, but he was only there for something like 6 months. And then you've got the present landlord that we've got now, who is Dave Bunyan, and obviously his wife Anne. I've played for the Pontglatz darts team for a number of years, lots and lots of years. We've played in the local dart league. We've always done reasonably well as a team, but we've never been the best, but never been the worst. But it's always a good social night now, playing the darts as well. Mm-hmm. And I moved into the village, into my own house in the village, just 12 years ago, into Church Close. And again, I've enjoyed the village life. The farm's always been part of the village. I mean, there's two farms. There's the one at the bottom, which where Johnny and Margaret live, and the one at this top end near the telephone box where David Smith and his wife Sue live. And the old manor house at the bottom, which is unfortunately falling down, but there's plans to resurrect that and rebuild that, which I think will be good. So the village has always had farm, and it's always had farmland all the way around it. And if you go down through David's farmyard down at the riverbank, on the left hand side you've got the old woods, which were Armand's woods, which we used to always go and play when I was a kid and collect conkers and what have you for conker fights, etc., in the school playground. The village itself, apart from obviously the shop and the post office closing, the actual village is exactly the same as what it was. There's nothing changed in the village. The green's exactly the same. So that part of the village is really, really good. The things that have changed is obviously Butts Lane. As you come up Butts Lane into the village, on the left-hand side there's a new buildings, estates, Grisdale. Obviously goes up to St Margaret's Estates, and then obviously on to Sunningdale. So there's a lot of building that's gone on there. But as I say, the village itself, the green, is exactly the same. But if you come out of the village towards the pub and the Pot and Glass, there is one or two little changes there. There's the big white house where the doctor lives, which is on the edge of Church Close. That's a newish house. And the one next door to it, I think, where you live, Arlene, is a new house as well. Mm-hmm. I don't mean brand new, but obviously new in the context of the village. And where Merritts live, on the opposite side of Church Close, is always been there. And I think our houses, our three houses down Church Close, they're built in the orchard, which was the orchard of where Richard and Astrid Merritt live. So our houses were built in there. But the actual green and the village green and the road round it are exactly the same as what they were years and years and years and years ago. Then obviously you come up to the Pot and Glass, and when you get to the Pot and Glass, obviously there's the old cottages along there which go around the War Memorial. And looking down from the War Memorial down to the river and the bridge at Yarm is what they call the Bob Banks, or we used to call the Bob Banks, which you used to go again and play. Stony Bank has always been there ever I can remember. It didn't have the barriers that it's got in the middle of it now. You know, the barriers in the middle?
Yes, I do.
That's obviously to stop people going down on the bikes and what have you. But when we were kids, again, that was excellent for sledging, because we used to start at the top at the War Memorial and sledge all the way down.
Oh my.
Past the what is now the flats at the bottom and then next to the Blue Bell. And the little footpath that goes down the Blue Bell onto the riverbank, we used to be able to sledge from the top of the stony bank all the way down to the bottom, down the little cut and onto the riverbank. So it was a long, long way down. And if you got right to the bottom, you'd done really well. And the field on the right-hand side at the bottom of Stony Bank, which has got the little pillbox in from the war, we used to sledge in that as well, but that field's obviously no good for sledging now because the grass is too long and there's too many little trees and things in there. So we used to have a lot of fun. A lot of us used to have a lot of fun. I remember going home one night from sledging, absolutely frozen, and my clothes were actually frozen to me legs. My trousers frozen to my legs, and I literally walked with my legs and cracking when you were walking with icicles on your trousers. I remember my mother having to put me in the bath with my trousers on to warm them up to get them to come off. So, as I said, it's been exciting times, and obviously things in the village now have changed, are changing. We've got the ERA, which is a little group which I'm a member of, which is obviously supporting the village life and trying to make things in the village remain as best we can as it is and as it was. We've also got the renovation group, which is a group which is looking at how we can keep the village as it is, but regenerate our bits and pieces, like, for example, the entrance up from Stony Bank to make that more attractive than what it is now. And obviously the entrance from Butts Lane as well, make that more attractive coming up as well. And we've also recently got planning permission to change the parish hall as well. So we're going to leave the parish hall footprint very similar to what it is now, because it is a very, very nice building, and it's got a lot of history to it. As I say, it was my old school, and there's a lot of people who still live round about that went to that school, and obviously it became a parish hall when the new school was built. The church owned a parish hall, but the parish hall association paid peppercorn rent for it, but it does need remodernising and new toilets and what have you put in it, etc. So we've got planning permission recently to do that, and we're just in the throes of negotiating to get the funding to do that. So that'll be good when that's done as well, and that'll bring it up to the modern day times. And I'll go a little bit more about myself, I suppose. Yeah, as I said, I've lived in the village, or within 2 seconds walk of the village, since I was a year old. As I said before, I went to the school and have been involved in everything village life, and my parents involved in village life. My mother used to do the Mother's Union and used to attend all the garden fairs and make all the cakes and what have you for the cake store, and that went for many, many years until the church would sell the rectory after 1976. Mr. Nelson died in 75. I think our Don and myself's wedding was the last one that he booked in for the church, and he died in 75 and we got married in 76, and shortly after that the diocese sold that building for the rectory, and they bought a house opposite the school, which was a rectory for a number of years, and in the last few years that's been sold as well. So the church does not actually have a rectory anymore in the village itself. So that's changed. But I've been involved in the church, to say. I've been in the choir, and I've also had involvement all the way through the church. Used to be as a server on the altar for a number of years as well. And following Leslie Nelson, there was Colin Purvis, Roger Chadwick, Tim Ollier, and obviously Sylvia is the vicar that we've got now. If I've missed any, I'm sorry. And I think that's pretty much about my life in the village.
Very interesting, really, Brian. Good. Thank you very much. And some things about the village I didn't know. So really appreciate it. Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome. Really good. Thank you very much.
it's amazing, isn't it, growing
it
up
is,
in
it is.
you know, you don't realise you've been in the place so long till you start to talk about it.
That's right.
Yeah, excellent.
That's good.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.